Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Hims. If you want to know what's really worth your time and energy when it comes to losing weight, skip the guesswork and get weight loss by Hims. Hims offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications that now includes the Wegovy pill at its lowest price ever and the Wegovy pen, plus lifestyle tips to support you along the way. I've got a lifestyle tip. Use the Wegovy pen. Through Hims, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine the treatment that's right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Hims makes hitting your goals seamless by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and in-app lifestyle and nutrition support like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. With a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hims makes it simple to find a weight loss approach that fits into your world and your wallet. If eligible, you'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. Ready to reach your goals? Visit Hims.com/loveit to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's Hims.com/loveit. Hims.com/loveit. Based on advertised cash price for 30-day supply of medication only. Membership required. A fee not included and billed separately. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions, visit Hims.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey everybody, welcome to a very special Memorial Day episode of Love It or Leave It. I'm, of course, getting married to, it says here, the love of my life in a few days. So we will be off next week, but I want to make sure what it says here.
It says here.
That was funny. It says here. I thought it was funny.
Can we make some edits?
So we will be off next week. But before we go, I want to make sure I caught up with my work husbands and wives before the summer kicks off. So in this episode, I am joined by Love It or Leave It writers Hallie Kiefer and Sarah Lazarus, who are here to answer questions from our loyal friends of the pod. I'm also told there will be jokes at my expense, which is so unlike the two of them. Shocking to hear. I hope everything's okay. But first, I'm joined by my pal Tim Miller of The Bulwark. We ran through some of the biggest stories of the week, including this brand new DOJ slush fund that frankly shocks the conscience. All right, I'm here with The Bulwark's Tim Miller. Tim, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you. Somebody told me that on Pod Save America, you announced that you wanted to join The Bulwark, which I appreciate. I haven't listened to it yet because, you know, I'm not really a weekly listener of Pod Save America, but the word is out that you said that.
I'll tell you what happened.
I don't want to know any more details, actually. Oh. I just want to welcome you.
Well, thanks for having me. Well, I'll tell you the details anyway. We were talking about Tina Peters, the woman that Colorado Governor Jared Polis commuted the sentence of. She had been convicted for her involvement as a government official in facilitating the 2020 election lies by Donald Trump. Donald Trump demanded her release. If you went to Tina Peters' Twitter feed, even just before her sentence was commuted, her allies were saying that Trump should invade Colorado if Polis does not free Tina Peters. And I was surprised to find that my two Pod Save America co-hosts, Tommy's view was that he couldn't get his Irish up about this topic. And John said he thought that Jared Polis made a good decision because she was a first-time nonviolent offender. And they had their arguments, and I heard them, and I understand them, and there's some nuance to it. But I thought, what am I doing here? I got to go join the people with the pitchforks over at The Bulwark because as far as I'm concerned, lock her up, Tim.
Well, you'd always be welcome, but maybe we should just do a trade then, because I took the Favreau position. Everyone else was on your side.
Well, John,
everyone else was on your side, good. Though. So a trade would be appropriate. You'd have to work every day then, because I do the podcast daily, and then I could only work the 2 days.
Yeah, but we're in the quality business over here at Pod Save America.
Yeah, let me know if you're interested.
Well, listen, enough chit-chat, enough banter. We've got news to get through, Tim. I'll think about it. It's an interesting trade. I think they'd probably want me plus somebody else, I think, for you, if I'm being honest, maybe first-round draft pick or something. But anyway, a lot going on. Wembley, just fuck. Webley? Webby?
Wembley?
Webby?
Wemby.
Oh, yeah. Wemby boy, really sinking him from downtown. Okay, here we go. I was chilled to say that.
Yeah. It was a long ball. Yeah, it was like a 30-footer. It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
It was like an alien.
From
it was
downtown.
One of the most amazing things.
From downtown. It was
yeah,
a big shot
downtown.
From downtown. Speaking of people just throwing out Hail Marys, this week the Trump administration decided they're just going to go ahead and steal money from the Treasury and give it to their friends. First up, we have acting Attorney General, though he's not acting much like an Attorney General, is Todd Blanche.
That was the case was dismissed because, by the judge last night.
Yeah, because you moved to create this fund.
I didn't move. I did not move.
The
That's
settlement result, Mr. Attorney General, come
yes.
on. So let me. So you're not going to submit this proposal to any federal judge or independent.
There is no judge.
Any independent authority?
What does that mean? An independent authority? What
it means
mean?
Not somebody who's getting to pick five of the members who was the president's former personal attorney. That would be somebody who would be independent.
I'm the acting
right?
attorney general, okay?
And
the fact that I used to be President Trump's lawyer is just a fact, but I'm the acting attorney general. So don't say the president's former personal lawyer will do something. The acting attorney general will do something.
Mr. Attorney General, you are acting today like the president's personal attorney, and that's the whole problem. You've got you have a whole banner of his face hanging over the Department of Justice, and you and everybody else walks under it.
Nice little moment for our man Chris Van Hollen there. Tim...
What's his age? Is Van Hollen, can we throw him in the 2028 mix? Is he young enough?
I don't know, but he just got a little speculation boner just from this traveling through the ether. What do you make of Todd Blanche saying, how dare you, sir, accuse me of being Trump's former personal attorney when I am the acting attorney general of the United States?
Yeah, I think the lady doth protest too much on it for sure with Todd Blanche. I don't know. I've been working around something on this. Love it. I'm interested to hear your take on it because it's so outrageous that it's kind of like it's hard to even find the words for this idea that Donald Trump could pretend like he had emotional distress over something and then have his own attorney general give him a slush fund of $1.8 billion that he gets to hand out to his friends without any oversight, without any knowledge. It feels like wrong to say unprecedented because we say unprecedented a lot. It feels like it's like uber unprecedented. We need a German word.
Yeah. To suggest it's unprecedented implies in the same way that like, you know, when you break a record at the marathon, right. you've achieved something that went beyond.
It means like there could have been a precedent. The people had thought about it before. Like,
right.
This is a whole new thing that they just invented. And I think the right thing to do is just to call it what it is, which is reparations for whites. It's reparations for MAGA whites.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what this is. And I think that would be a very unpopular thing to campaign on, you know, which is that, like, the people have been mean to my supporters in the media. And, you know, they were targeted after they charged the Capitol. And we didn't like that. And, you know, they were treated unfairly. And they need reparations. So we need reparations for whites and the taxpayers should pay for it. And like, that's what it is. And I feel like if it was pitched that way, it would have, you know, like an 8% approval probably. I don't think that would be very popular, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
The idea of just whatever you call it, that we're at the point where Trump believes he can get away with just taking $1.776 billion from the Treasury and handing it over to a star chamber of his buddies to give out to insurrectionist or whoever he decides. We may never know who those people are. They seem to want to try to keep it under wraps.
Some child rapists, probably. I mean, quite a few of the people who have been pardoned turned out to be child rapists, so probably a couple of them will get some money.
How did we get to this point, right? Like, Donald Trump would not have tried this in his first term. It's so ridiculous and beyond the pale. And there would have been, I think, outrage even from some Republicans had this happened in the first term, maybe even had this happened at the beginning of this term. But at every step of the way, I think even Donald Trump has been surprised by how little resistance he's facing. And so it took a lot of failures to get to the point where he thought he could get away with this. It's pretty extraordinary, right? The fact that there are members of the United States Senate who said that Donald Trump had permanently stained his reputation because of January 6th, that it was sort of a terrible and important part of his legacy, that they had lost them because of what Trump did on January 6th. We have now come full circle to the point where these are people refusing to criticize Trump for stealing money from the taxpayers to pay potential insurrectionists.
And imagine waking up on January 7th and having, you know, the ghost of MAGA future coming to you. and saying, not only will Trump win again, not only will the people that beat up the cops be pardoned, but there will be a fund honoring them as patriots, and they will receive a taxpayer payout of $1.8 billion. It would have been hard to even process that that was possible. It would have been very scary. I probably would have gone underground or, you know, to Uruguay or something if you told me that was happening, because it would think augurs pretty concerningly about the other things that are happening in the country. But, like, if you said that to any of those people you're talking about on Capitol Hill, if you said that to John Thune, like, that this is what's going to happen and you will support it, you know, they high-minded, you would have gotten high and haughty actions. Like, oh, you have TDS. Like, this is crazy. I do not support the cop attackers. We back the blue in this party. We would never do that. We would never do something like that.
They would have said you were crazy. They would have said that that's ridiculous. They would not believe that they could be that person, right? Like I think that they wouldn't even be lying. Like, I think they would have sincerely believed that that was as inconceivable to us then as it would have been to them then, right? But that's how, like, Trump has slowly marched these people further and further from integrity. And I think, like, even they would be surprised by the people they've become. And, like, yes, Todd Blanch is responsible, right? He is auditioning for attorney general, and he is even more craven than Pam Bondi, if that's even, you know, or at least tied for first. Congressional majorities are often held responsible for the actions of the president, sometimes fairly, sometimes unfairly. They're often held responsible for the economic conditions, sometimes fairly, sometimes unfairly. I don't think in our lives that there has been a Congress more deserving of being held accountable for the president than this Congress. Like, this Congress is responsible for enabling so much of what Trump has been able to do. And the fact that he is willing to do this kind of a fund speaks to just how urgent it is to kick these Republicans out.
And the Congress hasn't done anything this year. So, yeah, like, they don't even have their own agenda.
No,
like,
it's nothing. Speaking of members of Congress defending the indefensible, here we have Ted Cruz being cornered by, of course, TMZ.
Do you think violent, convicted, and then pardoned January 6 rioters, do you think they should be eligible for this sort of slush fund?
You were not remotely concerned when Joe Biden weaponized the Department of Justice.
Gotcha.
To go after his political opponents. Trump was indicted not once, four separate times.
Gotcha,
it was
gotcha.
The greatest abuse of the rule of law
do
in our nation's
think,
history.
Do you think January 6 rioters should be eligible for this money?
I believe people who engage in active violence should be prosecuted and face consequences. I believe people who engage in peaceful protests are protected under the First Amendment.
I wrote an entire book on this entitled Justice Corrupted, How the Left
so
Weaponized
Please just answer my question.
And why are you not concerned about the abuse of
because
power?
I'm concerned about this today.
I know, you're concerned about it.
So you won't answer the question?
Your
you
political agenda
it's no agenda.
Side,
are you going to answer the question, sir?
I have answered.
You didn't.
It's just not consistent.
Do you think the January 6 rioters are eligible for the slush fund? Thanks, Ted.
Loving that TMZ energy. Saying, like, TMZ is, like, politically motivated, like, okay, man, it's TMZ. Like, they're just asked. That was great. That was great. I appreciated that.
Yeah. They're ClickHouse. They just want the good. They just want the goods. They don't care who it is. Ted announcing his pitch in his book, though. I mean, if we are going to just grade as figure skating judges, and what he did there was absolutely appalling and offensive and like hypocritical. Like, I for years Ted Cruz has been high and mighty about, you know, fraud, waste, and abuse, and protecting the tax dollar and balancing. And he's a total hypocrite and phony. Amidst the walk, being shouted at by TMZ, having people around you, having to defend the indefensible, being able to sneak in a book plug.
It was good.
That's,
I agree.
That's like a quadruple axel.
I think he did a good job. I agree.
There's something for that.
I agree. He pivoted. He also did say in there that he believes people that commit violence should be prosecuted. So, you know, shout out for that statement of, I don't know, old school. I can't defend it. I don't know.
Minimum
nothing. Fucking bullshit. Like, lowest bar possible.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Thanks to HomeServe for sponsoring this episode. You protect your health, your car, even your phone, but what about your home? It's probably your biggest investment, and when things go wrong, the costs can hit hard and fast. That's where HomeServe comes in. Regular homeowners insurance usually doesn't cover a lot of the day-to-day wear and tear, plumbing failures, HVAC breakdowns, electrical issues. You're often on your own for those. That's where HomeServe comes in. For as little as $4.99 a month, They've got your back. Repairs hit fast and hard. You could be searching for a contractor in a panic, or you could already be on the phone with HomeServe's 24/7 hotline scheduling a repair. It's super simple. Choose a plan for your needs and budget, and when something on your plan goes wrong, just call their 24/7 hotline to start the repair process. They've helped homeowners like you for over 20 years with a trusted national network of 2,600 local contractors. There's always times where you have to have a surprise home repair or near miss. We've had I've had a leak in my house where, because it was when it was raining during the rainy season here in Los Angeles, there's just a part of my house where it rains inside. It's an old house. And HomeServe would have been great. You could have the peace of mind of knowing they've got your back. And emergency repairs can be so expensive because, you know, as the old saying goes, it can be fast, cheap, and good, but you can only choose two, you know? Help protect your home systems and your wallet with HomeServe against covered repairs. Plans start at just $4.99 a month. Go to HomeServe.com to find the plan that's right for you. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 and $11.99 a month for your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Upwork. Scaling a business takes the right expertise at the right time. Upwork helps growing teams quickly bring in specialized freelancers so you can move faster and take your business to the next level. Upwork is a one-stop platform to find, hire, and pay expert freelancers across web and software development, data and analytics, marketing, business operations, and more. It gives your business fast access to specialized talent across 125 categories so you can fill skill gaps, launch projects sooner, and scale support up or down without committing to full-time headcount. You can browse profiles, review past work, and get help scoping the role so you can hire with confidence and get started quickly with Business Plus. Skip the endless searching and get matched with Upwork's top 1% of talent and find the right freelancer in under 6 hours. Upwork also cuts down operational hassle by handling things like contracts and payments in one place so you can spend more time running the business. Thousands of growing businesses also trust Upwork to hire flexible, high-quality freelance talent for everything from one-off projects to ongoing support. It's free to sign up and posting a job is easy. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. Now, Tim, a new poll from The Times came out, and it finds Trump at not just his lowest approval rating of this term, the lowest they've ever measured his approval in either term at 37%. He has high disapproval on the economy, cost of living, or immigration, the war in Iran. And for some reason, people seem to be getting the impression that the president is not focused on the issues they care about. Here we have the president trying to prove otherwise.
There will never be another building like this built. That I can tell. I built a lot of great things, but there will never be anything like this built. And what we have is the roof is dead flat with absolutely nothing but strength on it. It's very strong steel. It's drone proof, and it's meant for our military to be able to stay on it. You get a view of Washington. This is all my money and donors' money. This is tax-free. So everyone's talking about they're going to give money, they're going to give money. The money they're going to give is really for the security of that and the whole White House. What happened a couple of weeks ago at the White House Correspondents' Center could not happen here. One thing that we have is we don't have people living above it. Great classical buildings. They're taken out of different parts of the world from very glamorous times. This is Rome. They like the flat roof. Greece likes the, they call it the triangles, and you see that.
I didn't see that. Greece, they call it the triangles. That's the Greece, they call it the triangles. So he's doing now briefings outside of the construction site for the ballroom. It will have a beautiful flat roof for military. That's exciting, don't you think?
And a fancy bunker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was joking, but it's been really hard to get out of my head a post that Chris Hayes shared about whether it feels like to him that Trump is building this so that he can live there forever. And I don't know. I mean, he definitely seemed like he did not like the accommodations when he went and hid in the bunker during the Black Lives Matter protests. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think the furnishings were to his liking. It was a little dank. And now he's building himself like an ADU on the White House where he can like live in the bunker and the, you know, would have a nice view from the roof, wheelchair accessible, nice ballroom for his parties.
It'll be in the haunted East Wing, yet another unpermitted ADU in the District of Columbia. Didn't bother going through the permitting process. It is strange, right, that he is so focused on the ballroom and this place with the bunker. He doesn't seem to be behaving like a renter, which is alarming, though he is quite old. You know, what have you made
of it? It's going to be done in 2028, allegedly.
Right.
I don't know about you. I don't know if you've engaged in any projects around the house, but things tend to not happen on schedule.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that wants to build something fancy for the next person, particularly if it's not a Republican and they're going to, you know, name it the George Floyd Memorial Ballroom or whatever. And, and so, it's just eyebrow raising is all. I don't know.
The focus on the monuments and the buildings and the territorial expansion to the exclusion of all else, stories this week about how they're still menacing Greenland, that he wants to make Venezuela the 51st state. He's threatening Cuba. Like, he has this idea of the legacy he wants to leave. They're painting the reflecting pool. They're building that new arch that he wants to build. Like, he's very focused on these legacy items. So that's, I say that on, like, to be optimistic, that he just views this as yet another monument, that he's like permanently altering the face of the White House and of the District of Columbia. Man, the amount of his day that is spent on this is like pretty extraordinary. Like, it really is like the a big part of what he's focused on all the time. It's all he wants to talk about. A friend of mine was saying that he was prepping leaders for meetings with Trump. And he said that if you ever feel like you're stuck, just ask to see the patio, the new Rose Garden patio. And somebody used it and it totally worked. Like, they're in this tense moment. And he goes like, boy, you've done a beautiful job of the patio. He goes like, come see the patio. And he gets everybody on a tour of the fucking patio. So some of this I do think is a little bit like, there's nothing deeper going on. Like, why does he want to show people the thing? Like, why does a kid want to show you the Legos he built? It's not, you know, it's not because he's a dictator. It's because he's really proud of the fact that the thing is of the space shuttle they made, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that is a generous interpretation. And, you know, to get at a deeper psychological level, it's just feels like something he can control.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have control over the fact that he's ruining the country and he can't keep the Strait of Hormuz open and that, you know,
that's
people
right.
don't like him. But he can, you know, he can control his little home renovation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where he'd like to focus his mind.
Speaking of his mind, where are you on the discourse this week about Trump and his age and whether Democrats are failing to make enough of an issue of it?
I'm a little torn on it. I mean, I think that it's good to talk about. I think that a lot of times when Democrats talk about it, I think one of the weaknesses of both Democrats when they talk about it, but mostly like their critics when they're demanding Democrats talk about it, is they're always talking about it in like a meta sense. You know, it's like people should talk about this. Shouldn't they? You know, or wouldn't it be more fair if they talked about this given the treatment of Joe Biden? You know, and like that is not very convincing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if this is true or if it's believable, what's more convincing is that, you know, somebody who is visibly deteriorating physically is embroiled in a hot war and he might decide to do something crazy, and the more his faculties diminish, the more likelihood he could do something very damaging, and that's concerning. And, you know, I think that could resonate with people. He doesn't have his kind of hand on the tiller. So I don't know. I think objectively, I was rewatching a 2016 speech of his today, and he does look different.
Yes.
I mean, like, he has deteriorated. Like, there was a period of time where I thought the kind of it was a little bit of wish casting, right? Where it's sort of like, Trump has always been crazy, kind of, and like old and weird and didn't like speak in complete sentences, like even when he was young. And so, you know, there was a period of time where I was kind of like, I do think this is a category difference from what we saw with Biden. But I think if you go watch him from the 2016 campaign and now, like, there's no doubt he's going downhill.
Yes, for sure. And it's hard, right? It's different than Biden, right? Because Biden withered and shrunk and got quiet and withdrew from public eye, did fewer events. And it was just a sort of a different kind of aging. Trump, if you go back and watch 2016 versus now, he's kind of become this sort of Grand Guignol version of himself, this higher arch, more dramatic version that kind of conceals the decline a little bit, right? It's all bigger. And so some of it is just he no longer has the brakes on, right? It's just, it's, there's, he no longer feels like he has to perform as a normal politician or kind of hide the worst elements of himself, even the fact that he's doubling down on saying he doesn't care about gas, right? Like, he just, he doesn't feel the urge to try to impress anybody or like the kinds of normals he used to think he had to kind of do an impression of a politician for. So part of it is that. But what I see with him reminds me of other people that I've seen age, which is, you know, everybody's mind wanders a little bit, especially as they get older. But it's a little bit like these thoughts are rolling down the side of a hill. And it used to be that, like, yeah, he's rolling a while, but then he grabs a branch and he can hang there for a bit. Now he's just kind of going down. He can never get purchased. The claws never hook into the side of the mountain. He just kind of rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls, which is different than what it was like before. But the comparisons to Biden, I all find, to your point, it is all very like meta. And there's something about Democratic pundits and kind of talkers versus Republicans, which is Democratic intellectuals view themselves as captains and Republicans view themselves as soldiers. And so Democrats say, why won't Democrats talk about Biden's age? But Republican operatives don't say, why aren't Republicans talk about Biden and the border? They say, look at the fucking border. Oh, my God, the fucking border. And they kind of like they say, don't do as I say, do as I do kind of a thing. And by the way, I'm part of this problem. Like, sure. we on the Democratic side, the kind of progressives and liberals, like, we put on our white gloves to type our little fucking missives, but we don't want to get our hands in the muck.
And I guess I just say on the narrowest part of your question, which is, do I think that Democrats should talk more about his age? I kind of think the answer is no, actually. I think that that's motivated by this like bitterness that some people feel mm-hmm. about the Biden situation or regret or whatever, or anger about how he was treated. And like, that's all fine for people to have their feelings. But like, what Trump is vulnerable on right now is that he got us into the stupidest war imaginable, and it's causing economic harm to people while he's enriching himself and his buddies.
Yes.
And so, like, and that is a thing to be actually mad about, by the way, not to be, like, mad about as a bank shot. Like, I'm mad about this because it feels unfair because of the treatment of somebody else 5 years ago, right? Like, you can just be acutely mad, and people are, I am, about the war itself, the economic conditions themselves, the stealing itself, and the corruption itself. And so, to me, that's more potent.
Yes, I think that's right. And insofar as once Joe Biden wasn't on the ballot, why did Joe Biden's age matter? It mattered because it came to be a symbol of the ways Democrats were unreliable, feckless, didn't care about the country's problems, weren't willing to be honest about what they saw with their own eyes. And that got tagged. Kamala got tagged with that. Other Democrats got tagged with that. If Donald Trump's age is an issue we should be making part of the midterm elections, it has to be because of some things Republicans that are running did or didn't do. And if it is so clear to people that Trump's age is a huge liability that Republicans are afraid to be honest about, then they should be getting questions about it, right? Why won't you tell the truth about his age? Aren't you worried about the fact that he is erratic and losing step and maybe do something crazy and dangerous, right? Like, I can see it becoming a factor, but you have to do two moves. The age has to be so pervasive as a problem, and then it has to be something that Republicans aren't willing to be honest about. And like, just sorry, guys, we're not there. Joe Biden and Donald Trump are not the same people, and the way they're aging looks different. And Donald Trump is in our faces every fucking day doing press conferences and being his erratic self. Yes, it's worse than it was. Yes, he's in decline. But if you're just tuning in, he's the most accessible, kind of active, quote unquote, active president we've literally ever had. So it's a little bit of a different situation. Sorry to tell you that. I'm sorry you're mad about 2020 and 2024, but that's the truth.
He does have the long blinks.
Yeah, the long 10-second blinks for sure. But I'll tell you something. You know what age is great, Tim? I'll tell you. Every time you and I have a conversation, it's just a great... It's just a great everlasting experience for the viewers. Thank you for being part of this very special episode of Love It or Leave It.
We're kind of Benjamin Buttoning, actually.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
And so maybe that's why we're a little bit out of touch with these kind of concerns.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're just getting younger. We're just getting younger and hotter. That's our move. You know?
it's tough being us.
Thank you, Tim Miller, for joining. You can check out Tim on The Bulwark, and you can watch Speech Center on YouTube. That's where Tim and I break down speeches. We grade on style. We grade on substance. It's a great time. That's on the Love It or Leave It YouTube channel.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Blinds.com. There's a version of your home you haven't lived in yet. where the light behaves, where the rooms feel finished, where you sleep until you decide to wake up. I did that today, in fact, believe it or not. I haven't done this because Pundit was at daycare. We're getting out of town and I like went to sleep at 11. I was like, I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to admit this in my room full of colleagues. I slept till 10 a.m. today. I never, ever do that, ever. I needed it because I have great blinds that keep it dark in there. Blinds.com has spent 30 years making it easy to find the perfect fit. With over 25 million windows covered and 50,000 five-star reviews, you can feel confident you're in good hands. Whether you want to go full DIY, bring in licensed and vetted pros to handle the measure and install, or land somewhere in between, you're always in control. They make it simple to choose the level of support that works best for you with flexibility every step of the way. Need help picking the right style? Book a free consultation with one of Blinds.com's award-winning design experts. No pushy salespeople, no awkward in-home visits, just real advice on your schedule. The leave-in ship samples to your door fast and free. Choose from a huge variety of style options at prices that fit any budget. Everything is backed by the 100% satisfaction guarantee because at Blinds.com, the only thing they treat better than windows is you. Said that weird. Blinds.com, we have great Blinds.com blinds in our office that are fantastic. And it makes it so that like we have a corner office that gets so much light. It was so hot. So we got these blinds that make it better. We can like lower them to get the glare off the screens and stuff. It's made life better. Right now, Blinds.com is giving our listeners an exclusive $50 off when you spend $500 or more. Just use code LOVEIT at checkout. Limited time offer. Rules and restrictions apply. See Blinds.com for details. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Stamps.com. We all get the same 168 hours in a week. So how much of that time are you spending on the mail? With Stamps.com, you can get those hours back. It's like having a post office right at your desk or wherever you are, so you can send what you need, when you need, from wherever you need, without the hassle. Print postage and shipping labels from your computer or phone 24/7 with up to 90% off UPS, USPS, FedEx, and more. No lines, no trips, no waiting. Instead of having to leave your desk to send something, you can get everything done in minutes and even schedule free pickups so carriers come right to you. Whether you're sending letters, contracts, important legal documents, or packages, Stamps.com makes mailing simple for businesses of all sizes, including multiple location offices. You can even send certified mail with proof of delivery right from your desk. We've been using Stamps.com. We use Stamps.com from the beginning of Crooked. It's such a huge help. It helps you get things done faster. Things can be done in a minute that would have otherwise taken you like an hour to get in your car and get out of your car and all the things that happen when you're parking your car. And, you know, it's like, oh, no. Traffic. If mailing is taking more time and more money than it should, try Stamps.com free for 4 weeks and get a welcome kit. Go to Stamps.com/loveit to get this offer today. That's Stamps.com/loveit. Stamps.com/loveit. Taxes and fees apply. All right, without further ado, I'm going to kick it over to Hallie.
And we're back. I'm Hallie Keever, Love It or Leave It head writer, here with Love It himself and our senior staff writer, Sarah Lazarus, with a few questions from the Friends of the Pod mailbag. Following that, we have a round of roast jokes about the man himself. We are recording this ahead of his nuptials, and Love It did ask us to roast him at his rehearsal dinner. It turns out we had way, way more than enough to fill
so
3 minutes.
Great
much. So we thought, why not share some of the sort of B-tier and or too mean jokes here with your audience? So stay tuned for some very funny jokes at Love It's expense. But first, some questions from the Discord. All right, I'm going to give you topics, and you tell me what topic you'd like a question from.
Okay.
We have elections. We have wedding slash relationship stuff. We have general lowly and random.
Let's do an election, a wedding, and a random.
Great. Okay. Queen Samuel says it's looking like the best option for a congressional candidate in their district is a billionaire. How do you feel about voting for billionaires these days?
So I actually talked to Tom Steyer for Pod Save America, and I pushed him on this. Like, obviously, like, people being able to use their own money to buy influence and buy access to the airwaves to tell whatever story they want, it's not less pernicious than people having to raise money from billionaires. It's the same problem, which is having a lot of money gives you more democratic power than it should.
Just cut out the middleman.
Right. They're cutting out the middleman. Now, that said, like, to me, you have to assess a candidate on the merits. Like, the fact that there are billionaires having huge impact on our politics, up to and including running for office, is like a big systemic problem. But in any one race, you have to evaluate the candidates. Like, I'm considering voting for Tom Steyer. The fact that he's been able to spend $120 million or more on ads is a real mark against the system, and it's a worrying sign for that kind of politics, but he still may be a better governor than some of the other people. So to me, it's like, how do we address the deeper problems in the system, both a tax code that allows people to protect huge amounts of wealth, and then also a system of economic power in which people are able to accrue this money in the first place? That's how I feel about it. Like, I think you still have to evaluate candidates on the merits and see what they actually stand for and whether you believe they do it. I don't know what else to do.
My question is, when you push Tom Steyer on something, do a bunch of coins fall out?
Well, so you got to hold him up by the
angles.
Got to shake him.
There you go.
Shake him. Over like a laundry basket. Is that a doubloon? God, you're rich.
And then you bite to make sure it's real gold. Yeah, I just feel like I certainly wouldn't not vote for someone just because they're a billionaire, but it's unfortunate that that's even a question that we have to answer. Like, but these are sort of, I don't mean like it's too late, but it is too late in as much as that we have a system where billionaires can exist.
It's just downriver from the problem.
Yeah.
And like we on the Democratic side talk a lot about the way to use the tax code to resolve it. And we should, like, we should tax people. We do a terrible job of taxing wealth. There's all kinds of ways in which billionaires can pass on their money. The estate tax has been raised to ridiculously like high numbers before it hits. People can pass on vast sums without them ever paying capital gain tax, all kinds of problems like that. But long before you get there, like, how is the system rigged so that all the ways in which a person can't possibly make that kind of money on their own is able to reap so much of a share of the reward to such a huge degree compared to all the other people in the chain that made that wealth possible, both people inside their company, people that are paving the roads, people that are protecting intellectual property, and all the other ways in which a person can't just accrue that money without a system that works for them. So, yeah.
I'm going to ask another election question because I'm in charge of the segment. And I think this is one that we've kind of talked about in the office. From Montgomery, the election season, other than knowing enough to vote intelligently, thoughts about the idea that stalking the news is a spectator sport and doesn't change anything except endangering our own mental well-being? What's the right level of engagement when so much feels toxic?
So, we get a version of this question all the time. And first of all, I would say there's a lot of different ways to be consuming a lot of news. I think that if you are refreshing feeds that are made for you, that take you through little bits of stories over and over again, that kind of you skitter across the surface of like a lava lake, you know, all the time, just dipping little toes into the evil over and over and over again. Like, I think that's very bad for your brain. But that said, like, if you want to keep up with what's happening and consume good information, and that helps you both understand what's happening, make sense of it, and by the way, like, be an advocate with your friends and your family. You know, we are learning more and more about just how hard it is to reach people, right? People are not consuming news. All the ways in which news organically reached people are going away. So people are getting a lot through their feeds, which they're not totally in command of. And door knocking hopefully still works. Calling people doesn't work like it used to. Texting people doesn't work like it used to. Our phones are all filled with like spam. So it turns out like relational organizing, which is person to person and people in your life, is going to matter more and more, in which point being an engaged and informed person and learning what's going on, having answers to people's questions, is really valuable. So unfortunately, I do think if you are hyper engaged, very engaged, like, as long as you're able to do it while protecting your mental health, I do honestly think that there's value in it, because you are going to be as important a source of information for people as the news used to be. But that said, like, how much is too much? Well, how do you feel? You know, you can turn it off for a bit. You won't go to jail.
Yeah, go for a walk sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like sort of reading little bits of news is sort of how we write jokes. So I feel like this past year was really difficult, just because that's the intention of like flood the zone. Like, it was by design that it's really difficult to like wrap your mind around all these things. And I would say I'm very grateful for working here. I was able to like immediately go talk to people, either people on the Lowly team or outside of it, and sort of like get context for these things. That being said, I do feel like this question is framed by someone who already has decided that they're not going to read the news. And I think to your point is like, I do think we have to know. And I have friends who are not tapped in the news, and they have said to me like, will you let me know what I need to care about this? And I'm like, I have terrible news. You have to care about all this. Like, whatever. But also I do think it's like, what are your topics that you can be informed on? Like, you read about this, you read about the data centers, you tell me about it. I'll read about other things, I'll tell you about it. And that's really the only way we can manage it. Like, we can't all be experts on every topic, but I do think it's like the time at which that we cannot engage has passed. And so we all have to engage. And to your point, like, it's just easier than to talk to one another and like not feel totally isolated by
it. Totally. And I will just, it's not just about quantity. Like, if you spend an hour reading 7 articles, that is a better use of time than spending 2 hours or 3 hours scrolling. And I sometimes think I myself, that applies to me too, like I fool myself into believing I've caught up on the news sometimes. Because I have the rhythm of preparing for these shows, I realize like, oh, actually, you know what? I just read 3 headlines and I need to click in. And like there is also, by the way, I think it's better for your mental health too. Like I think when you kind of get more details and more information, there's something about the perfect minimal amount of information that comes from a headline and maybe 1 or 2 lines in a summary that leads to the most anxiety possible. So just click the links.
You do start to understand how things connect to you. It's less of like noise from every angle and more like this is maybe 2 big stories as opposed to 16.
Yeah, that's true too. That's a good point.
Moving on, we have some wedding questions. Meese Watson wants to know, what wedding tradition are you most excited to totally fuck off and not use for your impending nuptials? Conversely, what is the most traditional thing about your glorious upcoming union?
What a interesting question. So we really struggled with this because you don't, like Guy Branum, who is a friend of the show, he said this to me when we got engaged and it stuck with me the whole time, which is, oh, wow, like you're part of this, you know, real first generation of non-straight weddings. You're going to help figure out what the new traditions are.
And did you immediately start sweating?
There's like so much pressure. And I feel like what we've been trying to do is, okay, like there are these traditions. They don't just dismiss them to do something different, but don't embrace them unless they can have some meaning for you and find somewhere in between where you're taking a tradition and adapting it to find the meaning in it. And actually, we're doing some goofy shit at this wedding.
Can't wait.
I'm excited for you to see it.
I like when people mix it up. I like when it feels unique to people and it doesn't feel like, oh, this is what one of your mothers wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's very little. I think we really tried to kind of put our take on it. And like, I wanted our wedding to be funny because we're funny. And I wanted it to be silly because we're silly. And at the same time, like especially as I get older, I think there's a hubris in acting as if traditions don't have value. And I think that there's something about marriage and weddings in particular that you can't get married ironically, you shouldn't. And I think there's something about the tradition.
It'd be very funny to watch someone try.
can you
believe it?
Why are you doing this in front of everybody? Why are you making a spectacle? Like, what is the value of that? And really thinking about that was important. So anyway.
So you are doing a first dance with your father.
Yeah, first dance with the fathers.
It is swing dancing, right?
It's also like, part of this is, there's no word halfway between husband and wife. Right?
Yeah.
There's spouse, but that's like from a form. Like, who do you dance with? Who do you not dance with? There's like something also about like
I would love for you to all dance together. the family dance. That's cute. So do that.
Yeah, we'll do that. But anyway, but it's been fun to think about.
Cute. And this is a more broad relationship one. I think it's an interesting question. Lazarus, we love your thoughts as well. This is from Gabby. Advice ask and marriage forewarning for Love It. My husband loves starting a project, but we are 5 months into our 2-week bathroom update after a year-long quick finishing of the garage. What is too long of a time frame to live with house projects, and how would you tell your partner to get their shit together?
Wow. Sarah, you want to take this one?
I don't know. I feel like if someone was updating my bathroom for me, I would never tell them you're taking too long.
Yeah, how in disarray is the bathroom during the upkeep? Because it's like, oh no, we have wallpaper samples or something. That's fine. If it's like the toilet's been removed, there's just a hole in the ground. Well,
yeah,
then that's
different conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of old style. An old style pooping situation. Just do it into that kind of hole.
And poop it old style.
Because last week's show, we did reference the film Mr. Baseball starring Tom Selleck.
Don't say we. Somebody did.
Yeah, we're not complicit.
And
yeah.
So in the film Mr. Baseball, there was a scene in which he sees an old school, like Japanese style toilet, which is when it's like kind of the hole in the ground, that kind of older style. And apparently he said in the trailer something like, it's not like I'm going to need somebody to tell me how to go to the bathroom. And then they cut to him and he's like, how do I go to the bathroom? But apparently they edited it because it doesn't really make sense, because he would certainly know how to pee in a hole. And so they literally dubbed it or changed it somehow. So it says, it's not like I'm going to have to ask how to take a crap. Because I must have been in the testing. People were like, why doesn't he know how to pee in a hole? Everybody knows how to pee in a hole. So then he goes like, how do I take a crap in here? That's a story about the film Mr. Peaceball.
Did you recently watch the movie?
No, I just did a lot of research.
Oh, okay, great.
I wanted to understand the context of Mr. Baseball. Oh, look, it sounds like your husband has unmedicated ADHD.
Yeah, I was going to say, if this is my problem, my spouse confronted me about it, I would say, you know what, you're absolutely right. So I think hopefully you'll be able to speak to your spouse, both the writer and the listeners, in a way to be like, hey, I think we got to wrap this up. And then you can help them take it on to finish it. You can help someone across the finish line.
That's nice.
I guess it just depends. Like, are they busy with other stuff? Are they indecisive? It seems like this could be a lot of different problems.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, you got to finish the project. I will say that you never finish moving in. No one ever finishes moving in. You have to decide there's either a closet or a room or an act or something that never gets done. And that's important. I actually think that that's something about life itself. Like, there's the drawer that's filled with the things you didn't unpack. There's the closet that has three boxes you never deal with. Like, there's a picture frame in against a wall behind a door. Like, you should never finish. That's important. I think there's something good in that.
Leave that toilet in a different room.
Yeah.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It brought to you by Quince. The warm weather is here, so it's time to change up your wardrobe. Quince has you covered for all the high-quality pieces to upgrade your closet at a shockingly great price. We're talking 100% European linen shorts and shirts, starting at $34, and 100% Pima cotton tees with a softness that you simply need to feel to believe. Their pants hit that same balance, relaxed and comfortable, but still polished to wear pretty much anywhere. Everything is priced 50 to 80% less than what you'd find at a similar brand. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you get premium materials without the markup. We love Quince. They have great polos, great bedding that's really nice, great sweats, great sweaters. They have just really comfortable, great stuff. I picked up one of the linen shorts recently, and it's you know, as the warmer it gets, the more I'm going to wear them. So refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/loveit for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/loveit for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/loveit.
All righty. We're going now to the random section. It's from Greed.
Let's see how random.
Totally random. Given the chance to be magically present at a culturally significant point in history, which one would you pick? For me, obviously, the crucifixion of Christ. I wouldn't have a good time, but I'm like, well, I've certainly heard enough about it.
Obviously.
Everything else would pale in comparison. And I guess I could do the birth of Christ, but I don't know.
That's just a baby.
Yeah. I've seen a baby.
That's just a baby that they're not letting inside.
Right, yeah. It's just a baby in a barn.
That's just a barn baby.
I was a baby in a barn. Over it. What about you?
Let's think about that.
It's just culturally significant, which I think it's very broad. So well, it's like any kind of...
We don't know about the insignificant cultural moments.
You're right. That's kind
of
sad.
How would you think of it? How would you even think about it?
I guess we've been at a lot of those.
Right, yeah.
This show is made entirely of culturally insignificant moments.
Hey.
I mean, like Mr. Baseball. We're making movie
podcast culture.
Magic.
We make culture.
But we reference culturally insignificant points
Absolutely.
In history. Yes, there we go.
Absolutely. Really good. Really
we give
good
them another dignity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lazarus, where would you want to go?
The first thing I thought of was Seabiscuit's match race with War Admiral, but that's not my answer. Okay. That's just the first thing I thought of.
You're going to go to an old horse race?
Yeah, cool. But that's not my answer.
Let me think. What would I want to observe? Can I make money using this when I come back to the present?
I can't see you. It doesn't say you can't.
Am I interacting with people or no?
Yeah, I think for me, it's like if I'm at the Crucifixion of Christ, I'm like dressed like them. Like, I think you're contextualized.
But you're not changing it. You're just observing it.
Yeah, I think you're just present.
Because that seems horrible.
Ooh, I do the moon landing.
Would you be on the moon?
Or I'd get to see how they faked it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's good.
But then they'll be like, wait, but how are you there?
They just look over to see you.
Because are you gasping for air? Are you one of the astronauts? Are you an extra? They would be shocked to have you.
Wait,
a few places you would just appear on the moon and then just be suffering. Well, they're like trying to put the flag down. Like, who's that woman over there?
I guess this is more like Ghost of Christmas Future style, where you're kind of visiting but not disturbing.
Right. Yeah,
like
that's what I'm imagining.
A ghost. You're just getting to kind of see it like it's on TV.
Yeah.
Oh, the moon landing is a great
idea. Yeah, that's a good one.
Hmm.
Because so many culturally significant moments are horrible and sad.
Right, right.
I guess including
but
mine.
But I guess you do want to go to something that wasn't televised because you can see the moon landing.
Right, that's a good point. That's true. Kind of want to go old with it. It would be kind of, yeah, I think like you want to, it's interesting. Like, where would I want to go? I think it's something like medieval. Like, I want to see something medieval.
Ooh, a total eclipse in medieval Europe would be fun.
But then you really do want to speak. Be like, if everyone gives me $100, I'll fix it. Why is this always where my head goes?
Jewish. And they
wouldn't have that Jewish.
She's allowed to say it.
We're allowed to say it. But I think something medieval would be nice, you know? Or even older, right? Like, let's go to King Arthur's court and get a vibe on that.
Or see a dinosaur. Is that a culturally significant point in history? I guess it is.
The meteor hitting. Let's go see the meteor hit. That's so cool.
Yeah, as long as we can just, like, beat out of there.
The meteor hitting was culture, for sure.
Yeah.
For dinosaurs, it was a big part of the culture.
The most important cultural moment, I guess.
I think it's interesting, though, like, is the meteor hitting the Earth and killing all the dinosaurs culture?
Was there culture before people?
I think yes. I think I would say that dinosaurs had culture.
I would say culture is a human invention.
Hmm, really?
According to Merriam-Webster, a culture is the beliefs, customs, arts, etc. of a particular social group, place, or time. So I guess, did the dinosaurs have beliefs, I suppose, is a question.
Say elephants do.
Yeah.
But they fucking hate those people making them ride around and stuff. I hate them. Hate them. Hate them.
So I think that was a good one. All right, great. Let's wrap this up and on to the jokes.
All right, when we come back, I'm going to hear some of these jokes that were either too bad or too mean to be part of my happiest time in my life.
Great.
And we're back. All right, I'm going to kick it over to Hallie once again. Here are the roast jokes that were too hot for my parents, I guess.
Too hot for Lovett's parents. We're just going to trade off telling roast jokes that we have written. And then also, we have a gift for you at the end. I guess as a thank you for letting us do this.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And also, as a we're sorry.
All right, Sarah, if you would please kick us off.
I'm like genuinely nervous. Okay, go. Great. Let's go. This is exciting.
It's always so special when two grumpy, politically active Jews fall in love. You guys are like the Julius and Ethel Rosenberg of your generation. I'm sorry, of your respective generations.
Oh, that's good. That's good because we have an age gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good.
One more from Sarah.
Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. I see why it got cut. Okay.
It's good.
It's great. It's great.
Honestly, though, no one would ever guess that you and Ari had a significant age gap. You look amazing, love it. Those transfusions of Ari's Gen Z blood have really paid off.
All right. Lovett and Ari together are a beautiful example of queer love. And Lovett by himself is a cautionary tale about overestimating one's widespread commercial appeal.
Wow. Okay. Really good. Mm-hmm.
There's no denying that Lovett is hilarious. Not on his show so much, but one time he showed us security camera footage of himself falling down in his driveway and dropping his McDonald's. I think we have a clip.
This is my Zapruder film. But good. Complimentary. So we're watching Lovett. He's holding a big fat bag of McDonald's. He's going back to his car. Oh, he fell down. I think
hilarious.
Hilarious stuff.
What did I think I forgot? I went down hard.
It's either your wallet or your phone. Because you're patting your pants, you turn around and you just eat shit.
I really did.
Oh no, my pocket hamburger. It's still in the car.
Right, yeah, you stuffed a couple in for later. I'd actually never listened to Love It or Leave It before I submitted the package right for the show. And I swear to God, I'm going to get around to it any day now.
Nice. Yeah, nailed it.
Writing for Love It is exciting because he always wants to do jokes that no other late night host would touch. For good reasons, it turns out.
A lot of people don't know this, but rats once chewed through the wires in Ari's car engine. That or Lovett spotted some loose french fries and dropped in there. Am I right? This guy knows what I'm talking about, and he must be stopped. All jokes aside, Lovett somehow manages to put all jokes aside. See, again, the B tier. We have better ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I will say the ones we're doing are much meaner than this you're reading now. So as a thank you and a sorry, if you are listening to a pod, if not, why are you listening to this one first? That's insane. I guess you love Tim Miller. I get that. Okay. So we have both received a sandwich after winning a bet. Love bet us that a joke would work, and we were both right that it wouldn't. However, recently, Lovett has taken our suggestions to cut down or cut a joke entirely. He wanted to reward it with a gift he once saw in a dream. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We have brought him the sapphic token.
The sapphic token.
Thank you.
Wow.
Lovett, can you explain what the sapphic token is?
Yes. I had a dream, and here was the dream.
Thank you.
The dream was I was in some kind of a vintage store, antique store, and I picked up a tiny blue elephant. And I was told or discovered or somehow came to know that this was what was called in the dream the sapphic token. And when you look at it, you become a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Great. Well, so I ordered it and I was afraid it wasn't arriving in time. So we did print out a photo of the sapphic token and then we signed it if you want to open it up and show it to the cameras.
Wow. It's beautiful.
Because this is good. When you pictured, this is what I pictured. Is this about right or what
you
was
know,
it more like?
I'll tell you something. I've never really described it. I'm realizing now it was kind of a elephant Buddha.
Okay.
Sitting like this, but an elephant. That was what it, but this very much evokes the vibe of the sapphic token. It's sort of a kind of some, like it feels like of another time. Oh my God.
And here's the sapphic token
wow.
itself. And it's a little
cool.
cute bag.
This is cool.
Beautiful. You're welcome. And we're glad that we could make your dreams come true. And we're excited to see your dreams come true during your wedding.
Wow.
Can we cut to, let's see, let's look at that little, can you see it? Put it like that, you can kind of see
Here,
it.
Hold this behind it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
There it is, the sapphic token, everybody.
Token. Awesome.
Great, we did it.
We did it. Thank you both. Thank you for everything you do to make this show funny. And everything you do to stop me from making it less funny.
We do our best.
We do our best
jokes. Every week.
Thank you to Bill. Thank you to Kelsey. New to the team. Thanks to Charlotte, to DeLon on the ones and twos. And I'll see you on the other side. And I hope we don't have a situation where I'm left at the altar. We'll find out together.
Can't wait.
Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Keeper, Sarah Lazarus, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.